Newsman, a new week, some more stories, some good news, some bad news. Who knows?
Another day, another dollar, Tim.
Mm-hmm. All those cliches that we love to say apply right now. Anyway, today we learn about the top 10 avoidable things Aussies are wasting money on.
I'm sure I make the list of things I waste money on.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to do, isn't it?
Well, yeah. We'll find out how easy in a minute. Maybe not. Maybe you're not just wasting money on any of these things.
We'll see. Roll on, web guy.
Are you guilty of any of these? Oh, I should mention mozo.com.au crunch these numbers.
Okay.
And just a headline here of these avoidable things. Australia, every year, wasting $46.9 billion.
That's a lot.
That would fix a few problems, wouldn't it?
I guess we're going to find out with this list what they're determining as wasting money and what other people might think. Well, that's value for money.
Well, that's a fair point. Tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Number one, the most avoidable thing that Aussies are wasting the most amount of money on, tobacco.
So, yeah.
I mean, if you're not a smoker, you can see how it's a waste. If you are a smoker, you'd feel like buying cigarettes or buying tobacco is a necessity.
Yeah, I feel like smokers know it these days. It's being taxed so heavily that you really have to invest a lot to be a smoker.
What is it, like 20% tax at least?
I'm not quite sure the figures. But
and I do remember hearing that smokers are net contributors to the health system. So sure, like there's illness associated with smoking, they have to go to hospital, etc., but they are paying out still more than what it's costing to help them in hospitals.
Sort of a mixed bag, isn't it? The money raised by that is great for the health spend, but not so good for those who are addicted. Off the top of your head, do you know how much a pack of cigarettes is?
No idea.
I could
take a stab. I would be guessing it's like over, it'd be about 20 or a bit over, wouldn't it?
Really? That's crazy, isn't it? I'll double check
that. If I'm reading this right, the annual spend in Australia on tobacco is $16 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Total spend per household, $1,700. Per person, $600. So I guess they're breaking that down, like the spend on like if everybody smoked in Australia, we're all spending $600 a year. I don't know.
All right, well, we can cross that one off.
We are not doing that. Food waste. Total spend per household a year, $950. This is one that I feel guilty about. There is food that we throw out, like at the end of a meal, the leftovers. I felt a way around that would be if I could like compost it.
Yes.
You know, then I'm not feeling as bad about it just going to the bin. But then I got worried about a compost bin attracting rats. I don't know if that is true, but I heard that somewhere.
Possibly.
Put me
way Are you
off.
In a suburb where there's big blocks and lots of sort of paddocks or anything around? Or
not big blocks, but there is some land, you know, vacant space near
us. Yeah. It could attract that. But you bring leftovers for lunch, I've seen that.
Yeah.
So you're not wasting too much?
No.
So what was the figures again? Go through that again.
$8 billion wasted every year across the country. $950 per household.
Per
household.
Per year.
Per year.
Yeah.
$328 per person.
It's so easy to do though, isn't it? You'll have a meal or you'll just have a little bit left over. It's easy to just shove it in the bin.
Oh, I see you bring a lot of caviar into work for lunch and often you won't even eat it. You just dump it straight in the bin.
Yeah, I just like the smell of it and then I just flick it in the bin. I do like the compost idea. I've thought about that. At the moment, making a lot of baby food for our twins. You know, peeling a lot of carrots, peeling a lot of vegetables. And I look at all that vegetable scrap, I think, that could be used for enriching my soil.
Could be going back to the Mother Universe.
Exactly.
Mother Earth, probably more commonly known. third most wasteful thing, gambling.
Mm-hmm.
$6.7 billion a year across the country gone on gambling.
Gambling. Okay.
That's a waste. We've spoke about gambling before. Online, yeah. Like the mobile apps, particularly with sports. You can gamble on more than sport, but sport is the big one, isn't it? And especially footy where we live. People are just emptying up their wallets and emptying their cash straight into the toilet and then just flushing it down with a big grin on their face.
I think there are, and I think I've mentioned this before, I think if you could manage to say, right, I'm going to spend $60 a week on gambling, that's my little thrill,
mm-hmm.
and you could just be that strict with your budgeting, don't mm-hmm. see a problem with it.
Yep.
Because there are the trivial pastimes that, why not gambling?
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, you're right. People just don't stick to that. They'd spend way too much.
Clearly not if we're spending over $6 billion. Number four, credit card interest, $5.5 billion gone a year on that. I don't know. I feel like credit card interest, you know, the interest you pay on a credit card is you know, the price you pay for the convenience of using that thing.
Mm.
And geez, it would be hard living without a credit card now.
I don't have a credit card, but okay, I think we're getting to that point where perhaps we need that fallback, perhaps.
So you've never done like a PayWave?
Funny you say that. I've just joined the PayWave movement. How many, 3 years after it started?
It's a good movement. I love it.
Yeah. Yep. So that's just on my normal bank account card though. So.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's the way to do it, I guess, because some people get carried away with a credit card. I'm not thinking of, oh, you know, I can get a credit card and then I can buy a $400 pair of sneakers, which I can't actually afford. I'm just thinking, it's just practical with like online. What about online banking? Where are you with that? Like, you don't need it.
Yeah, I do online banking.
Yeah, so you don't need the credit card. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh,
well, I don't want you to reveal all your intimate financial details.
No.
Bank fees, $4.3 billion. Well, I mean, can you avoid that?
Probably not. Can be a savvy customer, I suppose. Demand things. Go to certain people that don't charge them. But
Shop around. Barter. Can you barter with banks? Well, that's not the word I'm looking for. I mean, haggle.
Haggle. I've heard you can haggle. I'm passive. I just say, take my money.
I'm not a big haggler. Do you know, actually, the thing with me is I always forget to haggle. I go in thinking, all right, it's easy enough. As it comes time to make the purchase, or as you're about to say, yeah, I'll take it. Just before that, all you say is this the best price you can do?
Yeah.
Simple as that. I know that that's all you say. And then every time I forget to say it.
Have you ever done it, though, and they just look at you like, what the hell are you doing? A price is a price.
Have you?
I have. We read a lot of stuff planning a wedding,
yeah,
and we, you know, you read all the, you know, here's how to save thousands on your wedding.
Yeah,
say I'm looking at other things at this price. Can you match that?
Mm.
We did that with a photographer, and she, it was done by email. But if the email was real life, she would have slammed the door in our face.
All right.
So I apologize to that photographer. We just thought we were playing the game, but.
Yeah.
Some prices are set.
So, yeah, all right. If I had a bad experience haggling, I would get scarred and I would never do it again either. Traffic fines, $1.3 billion a year gone on those.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, very, very avoidable they are.
How's that going for you?
I don't get many traffic fines.
Mm. I'm waiting for one. I've got that anxious feeling because...
You've never had one?
Leaving work, grand final day. Very early start, so I was feeling a bit tired and not really concentrating, not a conscious effort, but I felt like I got speeding. I saw the speed camera on South Terrace, and I've just been waiting. I go to the letterbox, you know how people eagerly go to the letterbox?
Yeah, you've been sheepish.
Each night I just shakily open the key to my letterbox. Not yet. Thankfully.
Well, that's a couple of weeks ago now.
Yeah.
Another 2 weeks and you'd be in the clear.
I'm trying to Google length it takes for a speeding ticket to come through, but no such luck.
All right. Well, I hope you don't get it.
Thanks.
Next biggest waste, clothing. Seems odd. I mean, what we we don't need clothes? Obviously, there are clothes and then there are clothes.
There are, yeah, and people, I would say it's more women than men. Oh, no, that's not fair. I would say there are a lot of women who go out and enjoy having the latest fashion, having everything. But mm-hmm. so do men. Men like the brands as well.
Yeah.
As you can see, I've got a 5-shirt roster for work, so I am not one of those people.
It's only half a billion. 500, so 500 million, I guess that is, a year on clothes. Doesn't seem like that much. Anyway, we're getting down to the bottom of the list here.
Mm.
So still wasteful, but, you know, not so much. Number 10, unused gift cards. If 360 million a year gone on gift cards. Yep. When you say it like that.
How much?
360 million. I'm assuming, woo! I'm not good with the numbers, but I'm assuming 0.36 billion
yep.
is 36 million.
Gosh,
I'm not sure. Anyway, let's stick with 0.36 billion.
Should we cut that bit out?
So no, it's got to be 360 yeah, million. Because half a billion is 500 million.
Mm. Yep.
Man, I'm shocking with numbers. So you get your gift card, you maybe spend it. There's a little bit left over. You forget about it. It goes. Gift cards will often have an expiry date on them. But I remember being told that legally it can never expire.
Okay.
But what are you going to do? Take David Jones to court?
For 50 bucks. Over 50 bucks.
Yeah.
That you didn't spend.
Yeah.
The desire's just not there, is it?
Yeah.
You ever had this problem?
Well, I guess the thing is you forget, don't you? So I'm sure I've had leftover amounts on gift cards that kind of didn't get used. And it burns me, but gift cards, I have a love-hate thing with gift cards. Like, they can be a bit annoying.
I've definitely recently been burnt. We got some movie vouchers, and they sort of started to stockpile. So we had probably about $100 worth of, I think it was 100, maybe it was 50. But we definitely had it outstanding. And I actually made the point of going to the movie theater and saying, and they actually extended it for a month, and I still didn't spend it. And my initial plan, I should have stuck with it, was to buy like 15 Choc Tops.
Yep.
And just take them home.
Yeah, take an Esky with you. Something to talk about this week, newsman, that will be right up your alley. You'll be on top of this, all over it. Me, on the other hand, a lot to work on for me after having seen this story online during the week.
I'm interested. I'm curious.
It's all got to do with how you talk,
mm-hmm.
how you sound.
Yes.
And in particular, the tricks successful people are using to get respect at work with the voice, with their voice.
With Johnny Farnham. No,
yeah. Oh,
their voice, not the voice.
Well, we all are the voice, aren't we?
Right, okay. That seems to make sense, but I'd like to know some of these strategies, because we've covered a few topics so far about how to be successful. A lot of it's about mm-hmm. dress code, a mm-hmm. lot is about attitude.
Mm-hmm.
Write emails to write to people, but mm-hmm. now it's the voice as well.
Yep. Crucial factor, apparently, much overlooked by me, now that I think about it, probably. and I think we'll go through these. I'll put my hand up to the ones I need to fix. You can let me know how great you're doing all these, because this is your field. This is where you excel.
It's funny, though. We'll get into your list very shortly, but it... For me, I still need to work on probably the voice that I use away from the microphone. So when I'm behind the microphone, I probably concentrate a bit more how I sound and how I deliver. Away from the microphone, I mumble, I speak low, I sound very ochre.
More so than this, if
you can believe it.
It might be weird to talk like that in real life, though, maybe, would it?
Hi, how's your day? 1 liter of milk, please. 20 cents change. Thank you.
This hour, I'm talking to Web Guy. But yeah, anyway, we'll see. So this is about how to make yourself sound more confident, really, I guess is what it boils down to.
Yeah.
This top first one sounds really hard to me. You have to breathe from your belly. So the expert here says this type of breathing literally gives you more life. It energizes you, relaxes you, sharpens your mental state, calms your emotions. Upshot is your voice sounds stronger, helps you radiate confidence. But I don't even get what it means.
Is that the technical part of speaking? Is that what they're talking about? I haven't played for a long, long time, but I did play saxophone in my teenage years.
Oh.
And it was all about the diaphragm, all about pushing the air in a consistent, fluent mode. And I guess if you can deliver that with your speaking as well, it gives you a nice, even tone that people think, wow, that's confidence, even though it's just how you're delivering your voice.
I could imagine concentrating so hard on breathing correctly that I'd just be talking gibberish.
Yeah, that's true.
This one I absolutely need to work on, and it is your posture. Mm-hmm. Apparently, poor posture constricts your breathing, weakens the airflow that supports your voice's power source. So I thought posture was just, you know, a good thing to make sure help you stop having a bad back later in life, but could actually be helping your career by making you sound more confident by improving the quality of your voice.
Yeah, I mean, I find speaking right at the moment in these...
I'm just stretching up.
...microphones. You have your chair at a fairly normal level. I get a bit of teasing from some of the other newsreaders because I have it so high, whereas some of the other newsreaders will have it probably another 10, 15 centimetres lower, the chair. But I feel like I'm a little child looking up at the microphone, and it sort of squashes your stomach. But yeah, so... I guess that's, would you address maybe your boss maybe standing up a bit more? Not you in,
yeah,
in
imagine
particular,
that.
But just sort of getting up and
maybe even
really
just
projecting so you're free to push out that air.
Pin the shoulders back and start chest bumping your boss. That's what I think what it's saying. This one, much easier said than done, I think. Keep your voice deep. Expert says when you're not relaxed and don't inhale enough air to support your voice sounds higher. When you don't feel strong, when deep down you want to send the subconscious message that you are helpless or childlike, you may speak in a voice that sounds more childlike. So it's almost as if it's you're exposing your subconscious fears
really?
Via your high-pitched voice.
Really?
Yeah. Wow.
This is the last time. No, I won't make any promises. But bringing it back to, for example, news reading, for men it's good. Your voice is naturally deep. But I've heard some of our news readers at our workplace here, very talented, but in their early days were told to bring down the tone because it's a more authoritative voice to have. You don't want a squeaky female voice reading the news.
Not all male voices are deep.
No.
I would like mine to be much deeper.
Nah, yours is right in the sweet spot.
They talk about how statistically the taller you are, the more you earn.
Okay.
I feel like probably there'd be a correlation with the deeper your voice is, the more you earn probably also as well.
Okay. I'm trying to think of some high-pitched success stories. But
yeah, well, you won't find them. Next, slow your pace. When you try hard to say things quickly, the subconscious, again, this tricky subconscious of ours, always trying to trip us up, the subconscious message is that your words aren't all that important or that you believe people don't want to listen to you. So it's as if you're just, you know, whizzing through the words because you don't think they're valuable and everyone else is going to assume they're probably not valuable either.
That is definitely one I have to work on. We were actually speaking about this before this podcast even came to our minds. We were watching someone deliver a speech and I was commenting on how it was very rhythmical. The guy was saying three or four words, break for a couple of seconds. Three or four words, break for a couple of seconds. And the impact was, it was amazing. It just gave it so much more, it was credible, it seemed authoritative and obviously well rehearsed as a orator is someone who can speak really well.
On the flip side, in that gap you've just left between, you know, your sentences, all of your audience has suddenly received 17 emails and 4 tweets and a Facebook update, and they're all now looking at their phone in that gap you left for them to
So
get
you're
distracted.
Disagreeing. You're saying keep up the pace. Let's keep it going.
Yeah, that's what I reckon. If only we lived in the 1920s, but we don't. Enunciate the ends of words. So I guess it's like, I think I'm guilty of this. You get through most of the word and then you just skip past the last bit. It's like, you know, it's like when you would abbreviate a word when you're writing. You just say most of it and then drop maybe, what do they say here? Drop some vowels or consonants at the end. Just makes you much harder to understand, and apparently you're going to lose people's attention.
Mm.
So start a word, see it through to the end, I guess.
Commitment phobes out there.
Listen to a recording. So if you're worried that maybe you don't have a great voice, they suggest record it, listen to it, as much as we probably all hate hearing that. And you'll quickly work out what to tweak that create measurable improvements in how confident, warm, or strong you sound.
Done it. Agree with it. Have you done it?
You're just recording yourself constantly.
Have you done it? Well, I guess
I've
podcast,
listened,
you've
listened
back
to the podcast.
To this.
Yeah. But that's different, really. Probably, although maybe not. This is pretty much my normal voice, I think.
Yeah,
I haven't analysed it too much.
But have you thought, oh, that sounds... Are you critical of how you sound, or do you...
Not really, because what can you do about it? Or up until now, I had assumed there was nothing you could do about it. Your voice was your voice.
Mm.
Now I find out all these handy hints, so, you know, maybe I will breathe from my belly. Next.
Good posture, by the way.
Yeah. Inflection. The only inflection they mention is the upspeak. I think that's how you say it.
Mm.
Upspeak dramatically softens the statement by making it sound like a question, as though you're a bit uncertain. Makes you sound, you know, unsure of yourself.
I think I do this all the time, but I can't do it on cue. Would it be like...
I'm just picking up a random piece of paper. It'd be like,
I'm quitting
this
job.
3 cars have been torched across Adelaide overnight?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
So what are they saying? Don't do that.
Don't do that.
No.
Cut that out.
Lacks confidence.
Yeah. And here's one that's easy to say. How do you do it? Just, you know, everyone. Hey, everyone. Just radiate warmth.
Hmm.
All right. Fair enough. Apparently, this is one of the characteristics people who are most successful all have. Makes you seem really trusted. And the way you do it is just smile. Smiling when you talk automatically makes your tone sound warmer. Cheese. By that logic, you'd think the Joker, famous Batman villain, should just be who has a permanent smile etched into his face. But you wouldn't associate warmth with him.
I like those tips. I agree with all of them. I really do. But as you said earlier on, it's the skill of doing it without doing it or without thinking about it, which is a real challenge.
Yeah.
But I like it. I like some exercises to work on.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I've deliberately spoke really clearly today, and I'm ashamed that I've tried to lift who I actually am, which is a bogan that drops the end of words off. Lazy.
Yeah, you're not fooling me.